So Jesus' table ministry was a preeminent way that he showed and shared a depth of love unseen in his time. He ate and spent time with those considered unworthy of his attention. Even in his post-resurrection appearances, it was in the breaking of bread that he was recognized, perhaps because so many times in his ministry, it was at tables that he invited people to open up and share straight from the heart, getting right to the heart of the matter. So as we gather this day, we remember that at the heart, Jesus' message is unconditional love. To offer ourselves straight from the heart is the seed he planted in us. And that is the growth we are to continue to nurture. The gospel reading from Luke today says, these two disciples didn't recognize Jesus until he took his seat at the table with them and took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Then and only then were their eyes opened and they recognized him. The very first sermon I shared in my very first church appointment was on this same passage of scripture and on the significance of the dinner table. When a stranger knocks on our door, they might not make it past the threshold. When a neighbor stops by, they might be shown to the living room, or a really close neighbor or friend, maybe to the kitchen counter for coffee. But the dinner table is usually reserved for the invited guests, the people we're expecting, the people we've prepared for, cleaned the house for, set a place for. And those dinner table guests are often the people with whom we can share our deepest thoughts and feelings, those things that come straight from our hearts. So that got me to thinking about dinner table settings in the Gospel of Luke. When else do we find Jesus seated at the table, and with whom does he share a meal and his heart? Let's begin at the beginning. Jesus was born in the tiny community of Bethlehem. That's a word that means house of bread. And after giving birth to him alongside the animals in a stable, his mother Mary laid him in a manger, a feeding trough. God's gift of love to the world revealed at a dinner table of sorts. We talk less about the calling of the disciple Matthew, but before following Jesus, Matthew was a tax collector. And when he began following Jesus, he hosted a great banquet for him at his own home, and he invited his colleagues, other tax collectors. And the Pharisees criticized Jesus. Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? To which Jesus answers them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. And I have come to call sinners to repentance. Responding later in the gospel to a dinner invitation at the home of a Pharisee, Jesus is anointed by a woman who is said to have a sinful past. The Pharisee says, if this man were really a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. And Jesus' response is not to pull away from her or to send her out of the house, but to pronounce forgiveness for her sins and to acknowledge that those who find forgiveness have much to be grateful for, like the outpouring of the perfume that she's anointing him with. As he traveled around Galilee, Jesus' notoriety grew. Thousands would come to him for healing and to listen to his teaching. And one day, the classroom became the dining room as Jesus blessed a few loaves of bread and fish that the disciples had on hand. And the thousands who were gathered were fed in body and in soul. And Jesus ate. Jesus ate at the home of his friends Martha and Mary, at the home of the tax collector Zacchaeus, and in Jerusalem, Jesus shared this one final meal with his closest followers on the night before his crucifixion. Those gathered at the table included Peter, who would deny him, John, who would run away in fright, Judas, who would betray him, and Thomas, who would doubt his resurrection appearance. every account of a meal Jesus shared is a teaching moment, a teaching about how God's kingdom works, how God's grace is shared, how God's love is shown. It's inclusive. It's generous. It has no regard for status or gender or ethnic barriers. It is straight from the heart. In feeding others, in breaking bread in our own homes, at our own tables, in giving thanks for what is spread before us, whether meager or magnificent, let us remember that we are always opening ourselves up to receive Jesus, the bread of life. Let us practice keeping our eyes and our hearts open to what God might reveal to us, even in the simplest of ways, so that those seeds of new birth might take root in our hearts and grow in us and thrive in us. There's a parable told about a family and a wooden bowl, and I see in it a reminder of God's love and how God's love can be revealed in the simplest of ways at our dinner tables. A frail old man, it is said, went to live with his son and daughter-in-law and four-year-old grandson. The old man's hands trembled, his eyesight was blurred, and his step faltered, and the family ate together at the table. But the elderly grandfather's shaky hands and failing sight made eating difficult. Peas rolled off his spoon onto the floor. When he grasped the glass, milk spilled on the tablecloth. The son and daughter-in-law became irritated with the mess. "We must do something about grandfather," said the son. "I've had enough of his spilled milk, his noisy eating, the food on the floor." So the husband and wife set a small table in the corner. There, grandfather ate alone, while the rest of the family enjoyed dinner. And since grandfather had broken a dish or two, his food was served in a wooden bowl. When the family glanced in grandfather's direction, sometimes he had a tear in his eye as he sat alone. And still, the only words the couple had for him were sharp admonitions when he dropped a fork or spilled food. And the four-year-old watched it all in silence. One evening before supper, the father noticed his son was playing with some wood scraps on the floor. He asked the child sweetly, "What are you making?" And just as sweetly, the boy responded, "Oh, I'm making a little bowl for you and Mama to eat your food from when I grow up." The four-year-old smiled and went back to work. The words so struck the parents that they were speechless. And then the tears began to flow. And though no word was spoken, both knew what must be done. That evening, the husband took grandfather's hand and gently led him back to the family table. And for the remainder of his days, he ate every meal with the family. And for some reason, neither husband nor wife seemed to care any longer when a fork was dropped or milk spilled or the tablecloth got soiled. I invite us all to consider, how can we celebrate Jesus in our midst with those who gather around our tables now? We are, I think, 6 weeks now into this social distancing piece where the kids have been home and many parents have been working from home, or some of us have been separated from our families by the distance. What are the ways that we can include others at our table in thought, if not in action? I've talked a lot in this season about donating to our food pantries, to the Cooperstown Food Pantry, the Schuyler Lake Church's Food Pantry. West Exeter friends, I remind you that there's a food pantry at the West Winfield Federated Church as well. And I want to thank everybody who has been generous in their giving to those missions already in this season. I know people have also been giving to the animal shelter in Cooperstown because they're still working, even if they're not open for public hours. Some of us have been cleaning out our closets, and not every clothing drop-off point is available to us these days, and we've canceled the rummage sale at the Fly Creek Church, but there's one of those clothing drop-off points behind the First Baptist Church in Cooperstown that is still accepting donations. And those get distributed to communities throughout the world who are in need. But what about home deliveries of meals? What about takeout meals? Who could you send a meal to Could you send the meal to a neighbor, to a family you know in the community, to maybe a parent of two or three kids that they've been working to homeschool? How about a medical professional or a teacher or some other essential worker who's been going to work through this season? Or how about a gift card for a local restaurant? Many of them are still open for takeout and for gift certificates. Florists are still delivering flowers. And this Friday will be May 1st, which is also known as May Day. Before we wrap up this morning, I'm going to say a little bit more about May Day and how we might send messages out to our community straight from the heart and celebrate spring with our neighbors and friends.